Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray as we get into your word that you would help us to understand you more clearly, to follow you more nearly, to love you more dearly. Lord, I ask that you would think through this mind, that you would speak through my mouth, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. Every glad heart say amen. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Glad you're here. Tim, thank you so much for what you and your wife have done and bringing your friends to church here. I hope you have an experience that makes you want to move here. If not, stay down there with Tim in Florida. You know, no, it's okay. I do have some other close friends that are here. I'll shout them out. Marcus Wilson and Tina Wilson. Wait, if you raise your hand so that people can see. They're special. See there? That's my good. Clap for my good friends. Thank you. Got to make people want to come back to church, saints. All right, let's get into the word. Go to Luke 15 and... I could not leave the Lost series without getting back to the story that I believe caps it all off. In Luke 15, you know, we dealt with the lost sheep. We dealt with the lost coin. Remember the lost coin we call the lost promise, a coin or a tin she had, one she lost. It would have been in a headband, and it would be maybe same as a wedding ring. Losing your wedding ring, you would search for it. Your wedding ring represents your covenant, your promise. There's a lot of things that could get lost. Remember, I talked about losing one of my children. At some point, you all related to that, especially the men, because you've lost your child at some point. Even though your wife doesn't know, you know, I know you've lost them. And you just got to deal with that. All right? So today, I want to deal with the prodigal, and whenever we deal with this particular part of the story, it's easy to focus mostly on the prodigal son who was in the father's house and left, and he seems to be the ultimate bad boy, bad guy, and we just get stuck on him. Then in the story, we're going to get an opportunity to see the love of God, the Father. And the reason we need to see it is because this is how we should act. I love this story because it reminds me that I don't act like God, and I need to start acting more like him. What does God do when we're in trouble, and how does he respond to us when we are just thinking about coming back his way? Well, he had some love, some kisses, some embrace, some celebration. It's easy for us as humans, however, to turn to our darker nature, which is to say, uh-huh, I knew they would, and yeah, and now they're going to pay the piper, and yeah, mm-hmm, I already invested. I'm not investing no more of my time, my money, my energy. So y'all ain't saying amen, mean that's how y'all been treating people. That's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah, you better yell it out. We're going to park right here where you abusing people. Yeah, he said, I won't get out of that. Yeah, amen, amen. Okay. And then finally, we have the older brother. Man, I identify with him too. The guy that seems to be in the house, handling his business, doing everything right. And he's not guilty of what we would consider the big sins. He just got the little ones, like, you know, bitterness, selfishness, unforgiveness, stubbornness, pride. You know, all of that stuff that we have dumbed down as little because we can't see it as sin because we hadn't done whatever we consider the big sins. Well, what are the big sins? The big three. Well, I ain't killed nobody. God ain't mad at me. I haven't committed adultery. I might have looked, turned back. I turned back just in time before it's the adultery in the heart. oh, y'all gonna talk to me, or I'm gonna say a lot of stuff. Now I'm trying to just be nice. I haven't lied. Because, you know, the little white lies don't count. You got to find other ways sometimes when people ask you stuff to tell them that, yeah, I don't agree. Ha, look. Mm-hmm. I ask people all the time, look like I'm losing weight? They say, yeah. But they face telling me, no, you're the same size you've been stuck at. Same size. You know, just rather you tell me so I can say, man, I got to keep working. And some women say, don't tell me. So men, don't go. Now, disclaimer, don't go home. Bible says, speak the truth in love and use wisdom. Either avoid the situation or get you a punchline. But don't go home and say the wrong thing. You'd be like Fred Flintstone outside of your own house. The older brother gave himself far more credit than he should have. And he made himself so much higher than the prodigal when he himself was in the same exact position of need, though his grievances against the word of God were different, the penalty was still the same. Separation. I thought, well, he's in the house. See, I'm going to show you in a story where you can be far away from God in need, or you can be right in the house, in the pew, interacting with God, the blessings of Abraham. Oh, we build the church, clap, all of that stuff. And Jesus is not Lord of your life. We are becoming more lost as a society, as our identity, as a nation, as a church, is being shaken. The very definition of what is a man and what is a woman, what is a male and what is a female, when that's a question mark, that gotta shake society. Shakes. And everybody's confused. So it can make you feel lost when there's a question that rises up in your heart that doesn't seem like God has answered to your satisfaction. Now, even when God does not answer to our satisfaction, it does not change the laws written on man's heart to tell you the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. So maybe you become like I have become over time at times in my life. Where in order to prove that you're not lost, but you're just challenging the offness of the system, you deliver to God ultimatums. They sound like this. If you would have given me a better one, I wouldn't be in this situation. If you would just change him from being crazy the same, I could serve you better. Oh, y'all ain't saying amen. I'm going to stay on all the analogies. So you just okay. If you weren't so mysterious, I wouldn't be having such a difficult time in life. And maybe you're like me, where you drew a line in the sand one day and said, God, if you don't show up and solve my problems and solve my dissatisfactions in life today. I drew the line today. You're not going to speak to me when you won't and be silent the other times. I'm tired of that. Promise me a blessing at one moment. Then I gave an offering and I'm looking at my bills due. Today we're going to solve this. Blessings of Abraham. Quote that scripture right back to him. You ever dealt God that ultimatum when enough's enough? You had all you can stand and you can't stand no more, and you take your stand not against sin but against God. That ultimatum, that very language makes you lost. you've lost perspective on who he is and who you are. And this is exactly what the Pharisees, who had all of the rules, had done in Luke 15. This is exactly the context that Jesus was interacting with sinners, because this was his objective, to reach them. They didn't like it, and he began to tell them a story about giving them an example of what they were like. And that's where we're going to start out today. And my first point is expressed in Luke 15, verse 11. When you have it, say amen. Ready? Y'all gonna read. Y'all gonna read if I didn't warn you. Okay. Ready? Read. Now stop. So now the son, who is entitled at some point when his dad either dies or his dad comes to him and says, guys, I'm alive, but I want to transition everything over into your name. He's going to get, as the younger son, 1/3 of all of the wealth. He has another brother who is entitled to a double portion of 2/3 of all of it. But instead of him waiting on the father to initiate the plan for their life, he got tired of waiting under that authority. He got tired of being told what to do. And so he went and started promoting his will over his father's will. He said, I need you to give me everything I have and let me do with it what I want. Let me live how I want. I'm not telling you that I'm dissatisfied with what you provide. I'm just telling you to give me the provision and let me handle it on my own. Because you're smothering me, Dad. Got too many rules, and I'm tired of them. You won't back up, so guess what? I think I'm going to start thinking about walking away, and I need to count up my money I have, so give me everything I'm supposed to get. See, he's not, this prodigal is like us, who take God's breath, take God's life. Take your ability. The Bible says it is he who gives you the power or the ability to get well. The Bible says everything you have was given to you, so why do you boast as if it was not given? He says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell in it. He says with him you could do all things, without him you could do nothing. So you got all of these great and precious promises and gifts from God, but if you and I don't dispense them for his purposes, for his will, as a focus, we will find ourselves with this mindset that the prodigal have, of saying, give me what's mine. Give me back possession of me. I want it. So, and he said, what's the next verse? Not many days later. Now stop. Soon as he got what he needed, you know what he did? He got as far away from them people as he could. Not enough to go to a community college. I'm going far away from what? Your mighty hand in my life. I'm going on a long journey. Now, I want you to pay for that school. I'm helping somebody in here that need help. I want you to pay. But don't be trying to control me. That's my inheritance. You told me you were saving up since I was 1 year old. Took a long journey. Took my son James to New York. And you know, kids start separating from you early on once they recognize that there's other freedoms. Because, you know, New York got a spirit of freedom. He was there with his 12-year-old self seeing a, Dad, this is amazing. That's amazing. Oh, God. Dad, you know what? I'm moving here. I'm with. See, he saw them lights and the twicker. It just, yeah, he gone. Ask him today. I'm trying to rescue him from the long journey. Walking away. See, the first point is that you and I begin to walk away from God when we don't like how he covers us, but we still want his stuff. You lost. Bless me to sin, Lord. Bless me with the strength to sin. I need the strength. Give me strength, Lord, to sin. And then the Bible says he squandered all his money. See, when your life is not directed by the Lord, you're going to be eventually broke. Because you don't have the wisdom of God to maintain that which you've been given as a gift. You cut yourself off from it. It was reckless living. You know, parents only try to keep you from sin. Dad, why can't we watch anything on TV? We're not allowed to touch the remote, anything, because I don't trust the commercials introducing something to your brain I ain't told you about. Dad, it's you know, I know we don't celebrate Halloween, but it's Halloween, so you're supposed to watch a scary movie. No. Why? Because you're going to be scared. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. I remember now I ain't listened to my mama. When the original Poltergeist came out, she said I couldn't go. And then I asked my uncle, could I go? He took me in the drive-in. I've been seeing Carrie Ann for years.
The light.
I said, oh, God, help me. Walking away from Jesus. All right, time to be laughing with y'all like this. I want to say so many jokes right now. I'm going to stop. He squandered everything. Requisite, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed the pigs. And when he was longing to feed with the pods that the pigs ate, no one gave him anything. Isn't that funny? You spend all of your money, you get outside the covering, and then everything in your life dry up, and you somewhere, well, what's going on? How is this happening? But deep down, you know why it's happening. He's not Lord of your life. You left that covering. You left that jurisdiction where the blessing resides. You just sang the song. You didn't live the life. It just might look better if I do it like this. He said, get the inheritance, get your inheritance. The blessings of Abe. And you feel better, don't you? But you know, you didn't walk away with reckless living. You just singing a song. And it just feel good. Your life haven't changed. At all. You've walked away. And in fact, when you leave, you don't know a whole lot of stuff, like where your bill money coming from. That's where the prodigal was. He's broke. He can't even feed himself. He looking at the pig's meal as a gourmet meal. You know what? If we put some salt on them pods, if they getting fat, I know I got to help me. Now, you know, something that's not even supposed to be appetizing started looking good to you because you walked away. You walked away. We're defining you as lost, but what makes you lost is your foolishness. You already believed that it was good at home, but you left. And primarily because I don't like the way he... And here's the thing about rules. We all like to do the rules that we like people to keep with us. It's just when God wants us to do those rules that we're not good at keeping, that we get the problem. If you don't have, if you grew up and you didn't, you know, somebody hurt you with a lie, then you might, your big thing might be lying. I won't lie. But lust is fine. Just a little. If when we get to the other building and y'all do this to me, we gonna stay there for hours. Like, you know, you say lust, I don't want them to know it. I don't want them to think it's me. Sin entered the world through lust. So get over that. So if you've sinned, you've been involved in lust. Oh, when you put it that way, yeah, I might raise my hand. Okay. Just relax. Hey, we all broken and we need help from Jesus, but we ain't gonna get it by acting like we don't, okay? That's it, okay? That's it. Relax. Relax. Nobody won't judge you. In fact, the scripture said, judge not, lest you be judged. With the judgment you judge, you condemn yourself, not knowing that you who judge do the same thing. So nobody won't judge. Walked away. Point two, at some point when you're living like that, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. And the Bible says in verse 17, read. Stop. What y'all reading? I was looking down like, man, is that a tongue that need to be interpreted? Or what's going on? All right, verse 17. Ready? Read. When he came to himself, he said, when he realized that what he was doing and where he was at is not how he was made, is not what he was constructed to be, when he recognized that his new appetites were not the appetites that were inborn, inbred, this wasn't the way he was supposed to be. When he came to himself, I'm a man, I'm not a woman. When she came to herself, I'm a woman, not a man. When you come to your senses, you start saying, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm godly, I'm righteous, I'm pure, I'm holy. I'm a son, I'm a daughter. You start speaking, you got to come to yourself. And one of the proofs that you've come to yourself, you start saying stuff with boldness. What is this? Demon, that's too hard. What is it? What is this spirit? What is the spirit that makes us, as the church, think we had a responsibility to be politically correct and spiritually illiterate and spiritually just off? You define your culture. It does not define you. When he came to himself, he says, I got something to say. And it wasn't about him. It was reading. How many of my father's hired servants? Why am I hungry? I'm silly. Everybody that stayed in the house as a servant, everybody that stayed under his authority, everyone that stayed under his lordship, they're being satisfied. They're being cared for. They've accepted their lot. They've accepted their position. And because they've accepted it, they're being satisfied. I'm telling you, you know what? You may not like being controlled by somebody or overseen by somebody. You might feel smothered, but go and be hungry long enough. Go be hungry. Just stop eating for lunch. You're going to come back to God. Just let a lunch go. I'm telling you, I eat lunch. It's hard every time I let it go. Ready? 18. Read. for my son, for this my son. Man, when you wake up, you stop talking about why your sin is justified because how you were raised, your proclivities toward needing more than the average person, so you take more than your share. All the excuses start leaving. And when you come to yourself and you recognize how good your dad was, how good God is, instead of giving him ultimatums, instead of judging him, instead of saying, why did he make the world this way? Instead of saying stuff like, yeah, Lord, why did you give me free will? You knew I'd mess it up. Like penalizing him for giving you a good thing. When you start waking up and say, Lord, I sinned against heaven. I messed up against you. Against you, David said, and you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. My sin is against you. But you know what, David? The one thing you could have done better, it was against God. But the prodigal had one-upped you. He said, I sinned against heaven and I sinned against you, Dad. David, you should have named Uriah the man you killed. You should have named Bathsheba, who you manipulated. You should have named the people of Israel who you led falsely in the wrong direction. And it's not because God wasn't going to show mercy to you. It's you can't really have redemption without clear repentance. That means I got to acknowledge I was going the wrong way, and here's the road that I was on. Here's the name of the road. Here's how long I've been on it, and now I'm turning from that road, and I'm going into this new narrow way that's bright, and it's getting brighter, and as I walk to it, I feel real comfortable, and I forget what's behind. As I reach for what's ahead, and I press on to gain the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. But you got to get this part, because I got to let you out of here, is that at the first sign of you being awakened, we begin to witness something about God the Father. You begin to witness the depth of his love. I used to make the egregious statements that if I was God, when somebody offended me and stuff, it may hurt my heart. You never have anybody hurt your heart, break your heart a little bit? You hurt me. I said, you know, if I was God, I'd keep you kind of heartbreakers out. So funny, isn't it, is that God doesn't keep us out when we break his heart. He saw the sun coming. And from a distance, he said, wait a minute. There he is. He contemplated, how do you know? Because the Bible said before he ran to him, he had compassion. Wait a minute. For him to be showing up looking like that, it was a tough run. I can't make him make that long walk because he's going to be wondering what I'm thinking. And he might turn around. I can't take that chance. The Bible says he ran to him. When he got there, he was stinking. He didn't have shoes on. He wasn't properly clothed. And the Bible says he embraced him chest to chest, cheek to cheek. Probably kissed him on the neck. And I guarantee you that something about that prodigal's own self-hate and self-loathing, in that moment of feeling valued by somebody who should dismiss you for eternity. He said, I just want to work for you, Daddy. I just want to work for you. I didn't come back to bother you. I didn't come back to judge you. I didn't come back to give you ultimatums. I didn't come back to mess with you. I'm just happy to be back. He said, oh, I got it. I got you. You take my... I'm going to start by giving you everything back. I'm going to give it all back to you now. You need to start with a full inheritance, first of all. It's not your call. Take this ring. It's a sign that your authority as my son is established and that you're entitled to something from me. Hey, you know what? Because I know that you're looking real bad right now, and I don't know who's going to feel about you the way I feel about you. So y'all go get my best robe, mine. And I'm going to put my righteousness. I'm going to put my robe on you so that when you see him, you see me. When you think about him, you got to think about me. When you want to say, ain't it dirty, you got to see my clean robe. Shut up. And that wasn't enough. Obviously, this man had lost his purpose, his direction, his feet, no shoes. We were all called with purpose. 86% of the United States saying they don't have a purpose, a clear purpose. It's mostly because we have universally rejected the purpose of God, that we who are reconciled have been given the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. These feet are to carry the good news about how your daddy is and who he is. Son, you still might not get it if I kept this private. And because I need everybody to know that this is how I operate when it comes to reaching lost people, Pharisees. Because I want everybody to know that. Where's that old prize hog? We've been getting him fat for 5 years to win our blue ribbon. Get that fat boy out here. Look at, oh, he all marbled up and tasty looking. Oh, yeah. 5-year-old big old boy. We're going to fry him up or roast him. And get the choir out. This is what the scripture is saying when you read it all the way. Get all the music out. We're going to have a gala. Let's spend a lot of money. And let's let everybody know what's going on. And the party got bigger. Because what God is doing for him after he woke up couldn't be in private. Now, you know who witnessed this party was the older brother. He came in, the Bible says, from working. I've been in the house working. Oh, he back? He don't see the ring. He won't see the robe. He won't see he got more purpose. He won't see all the preparation and participate. He feels justified because he didn't kill nobody. Oh, he wasn't an adulterer. Oh, he didn't lie. He don't have the big sins. So why should I feel that I don't have the big sins? You gonna throw him a party? I ain't coming to that. But the Bible says, while the father did not go out and find the prodigal, he did go out. You just need to see that in your, just trust me, just read it. He did go out to meet the older brother. The one that was closer to him. You might feel, because I'm in church today, I'm closer to God. But yeah, that's why God is making the message most plain to you and me. About how far we away. Somehow it's easier to think about the people who do the real egregious sins as in need of the place and all God's love, and somehow we leave his grace laying by the wayside. Challenging you today not to be like the older brother who God said, look, you with me all the time. You got everything, you got it all. He said, but your brother was dead. And now he's alive, and that's why I'm celebrating him. You see, every time in chapter 15 something was found, a sheep, a coin, or a person, he threw a celebration. And he says, every time a sinner repents, this is what he does. But do you know, for the older brother, no celebration was given. Because he didn't turn from his stubbornness. He didn't turn from his bitterness. He didn't turn from his unforgiveness. And he counted it a small thing, and he stays estranged from the covenant of promise. I don't know where you're at today, but maybe you've fallen from grace because you didn't know you needed it. You didn't think he counted those things just like he's counting the other stuff. And that the same good news that the young son needed by coming to a revelation about his father is the same thing that the older brother needed. Come to a revelation, even though you're closer, you're more prosperous, you have more things. You have more things to hide behind to say you're a goody-goody. So what if men praise you? So what if you praise yourself? If you find it after you, he said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, getting in. And really today, I want you to hear this. I'm not trying to scare you into an altar call, but I know some of you need to come to the altar. Well, let's just say it like it is. Come to the front of the room. To what? For what? Say I'm not ashamed. That's what the prodigal did. I ain't ashamed. It's like the older brother just goes off into silence. So stand to your feet. This is it. Ministry team comes now. When I close the service, we're just going to start singing until the next one. And if you fit the description of somebody that's lost in whatever way that means something to you, I'm not here to define it. You know when you're away from Jesus. You know when he's not Lord. You know when you need another human touch to just pronounce, I'm saved. Whatever your needs are, we're going to pray for you. When I finish praying, we're going to start singing, but you'll be dismissed. But those who need salvation for the first time or come back to God or need prayer, you better find your way down here because the Father loves you too much. Lord, I thank you for this extraordinary moment. And for these highly blessed people, break our hearts, open our hearts, give us to say yes to you. God, bring us back at the appointed time to give you praise. Let no one leave that shouldn't leave without saying Jesus is Lord. We bless you and thank you. Give God a hand clapper. Get back up again.